Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Jameson Williams, is he going to give you an injury discount or is he a complete fade in year one? We're here to break down that and more on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast starting right now. Welcome to another fantastic edition of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Lamarco. We're here to break down another one of our player rookie profiles from the NFL draft, Jameson Williams going to the Detroit Lions. Before we do, we want to make sure we're talking to you about following us across the board. Make sure you're jumping on the Razzball YouTube channel, one of the fastest growing channels on YouTube right now at Razzball Fantasy. Make sure you're checking us out on the latest stuff that we're dropping on IG and TikTok at Razzball Fantasy as well. Daily content going up on those sites for football, baseball, basketball, and but finally, make sure you're jumping on Razzball.com. And all those guys on the baseball side are doing great work over there. We're also starting to really drum up some good stuff on the football side. And in the next few days, we're going to have a lot more data coming your way and things that you need to know about before for the upcoming football season. Now, without burying the lead, we're going to bring in our very own Paul Blake. Paul, what's going on?
Hey, man, not much. Just excited to get into it here.
Yeah, you know the drill. Paul doesn't mess around. He's not here for chit-chat. He goes, let's get right into it. So, Paul, let's hear it, man. We're here to talk about Jameson Williams going to the Detroit Lions. This guy's got the speed. He's got the production in college, but bam, gets hit with that ACL injury. So what's your thoughts about this kid in year one and beyond?
Yeah, you know, I love this guy. I'll give you a quick breakdown of kind of where he's coming from. You know, I like to do that. I like to get into these guys' stories. I think it's very important that we know their personal progression stories so we have an idea of what we're buying, what we're getting into here. So for starters, you know, he was the top-rated player in the state of Missouri coming out of high school in the 2019 recruiting class. He's from a recruiting hotbed there in St. Louis. And it's an area that kind of went a little bit overlooked for whatever reason. University of Missouri doesn't do that well in that area. You know, back in the 90s, Nebraska really hit that area, and that was part of their dynasty that they had running in the 90s. But then it kind of got a little bit forgotten. Nebraska got out of it as they kind of fell back. You know, who took notice was Ohio State. And the first guy that they got out of there was Ezekiel Elliott. And, you know, they liked the return there, so they kept going back to St. Louis, and Jameson Williams was one of the guys they got there. And Jameson is familiar with Zeke Elliott because he broke Zeke Elliott's record in the 300 meter hurdles. So yeah, this is a cat that's really fast, track star, and the speed shows up on the field. Now, he showed up at Ohio State, and of course you got Chris Olave there. Later you would get Jackson Smith and Jigba, but he showed up in the same recruiting class as Garrett Wilson, earlier pick, first round pick for the Jets. Garrett Wilson was rated the second wide receiver in the class, while Williams was rated the 18th wide receiver in that class. So of course he kind of already started taking a back seat to those other receivers. But Bama was recruiting him at the same time, and Bama may have not gotten him out of high school, but they were going to get him a little bit later. So Jameson Williams got a comp from Will Fuller coming out of high school. He got that comp from 247's Alan True. And if you're into high school recruiting at all, I highly recommend Alan True. That guy's a great writer, great recruiting analyst. If Alan writes it, I read it, and I usually respect where he's coming from. So I highly recommend Alan's work. Williams was, like I said, he was a track star, exceptional speed and explosiveness, dangerous return man. He actually won co-SEC Special Teams Player of the Year with Bears draft pick Velus Jones Jr. So, I mean, if you're looking for speed to take the top off the defense and a guy who's really good with the yak yardage, this is your guy. I love Jameson Williams, big play guy. 30 plays, or pardon, yeah, he had 11 touchdowns of 30 yards or more. So when this guy catches it, it's a good chance it's going to the house.
Yep. So the other thing about his injury that I just want to bring up, so I did want to dive into this. Dr. David Chow talked about his injury. He does think he's draftable, and I think he meant in sense of NFL terms. But one of the key things he said, it's unrealistic to think he's going to be ready for week one. Now, we have to remember that in the back of our minds because of the ACL and when we're looking at him for redraft purposes. Now, Dynasty, completely different animal. We could sit here all day and talk about Jared Goff and Dan Campbell's mindset and how that might impact him, whatever. But we're talking strictly injury here. Now, his ceiling, according to David Chow, he talks about it's very high. They shouldn't shy away from him. But that's with the knowledge of knowing that he won't be right until the second half of the season at the earliest. So we need to make sure we keep that in mind from an injury standpoint. So I guess from your standpoint, Paul Blake, based on your viewing of his tape, do you have any hesitancy because of the injury, at least for year one?
Yeah, I do. I do in redrafts. I'm a little bit nervous about this guy first year, especially because, you know, he really – speed is the game for this guy, you know. And if he loses a few ticks off of that speed, loses a little bit of time off that 40, isn't that, you know – track star hurdle guy like he was before after ACL, that's really going to hurt him. But like you said, for Dynasty, absolutely love this guy, especially when they get him a better quarterback, because I like Goff. He's a battler. I thought he kind of got unfairly cast there, leaving LA. But yeah, I think that this is the type of player where you're going to want to have a very good quarterback to facilitate his growth.
Yep. Now, the depth chart is not going to be forgiving for him either. I'm not saying that this guy cannot emerge as an elite number one down the road, but right off the bat to talk about a couple things. First off, Amon-Ra St. Brown, TJ Hockenson, DeAndre Swift, Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond, all still on the roster for this team. This team is only vacating roughly 35 opportunities, so there's going to be a lot of competition for targets. Now, granted, none of those guys offer the ceiling or are a true alpha number one. I totally get that. But Amon-Ra St. Brown in year one did show some stuff in the slot playing in that role with Jared Goff. Now, one of the things I personally like is that his last season at Alabama in 2021, he played with Bill O'Brien. And I know Bill, we like to B.O.B., we like to break his balls about the fact that he was the worst GM ever and did all this dumb stuff. But this dude knows how to coach football. And when he was the OC at Alabama, this kid flourished. Probably in a scheme that had a lot of, you know, pro-style principles. So I guess, does that, you know, him working with Bill O'Brien and flourishing in that type of offense, does that give you a little bit more excitement for his time in the pros?
Yeah, it really does. Bill O'Brien, another thing he doesn't get credit for is when he was at Penn State, I mean, he basically said, I'm not going to recruit offensive linemen, and I'm going to go with Christian Hackenberg, and I'm still going to win a whole bunch of games. So B.O.B., he's a smart football mind, especially on the offensive side. And for him to do what he did with Jameson Williams, I mean, we're talking when Williams was at Ohio State, 17 receptions between two seasons. Goes over to Alabama, got 79 catches your first year in Alabama. So this is a guy they liked, they went after, and they made the most of it.
Yeah. Now, the other things I want to talk about quickly, and I like to bring this stuff up, is I do my research on how rookies perform with the coaching staff and also historically with the quarterback. So I looked at Dan Campbell biting off kneecaps. And the thing with Dan Campbell I noticed is that he's been a part of coaching staffs that have allowed rookies to flourish in year one. Jarvis Landry back in his day in Miami, in year one, he gave him a big-time role behind Mike Wallace, but he was basically neck and neck. Michael Thomas in New Orleans, he was a part of that coaching staff, assistant head coach, that allowed Michael Thomas to come in and dominate year one. Last season, as the head coach for Detroit, we saw it. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he has no problem giving the rookie the reins to be the leading receiver on his team. So I do like that for his upside as soon as the second half of this season. The other flip side of this is Jared Goff. Now, Goff, I think, out of the limelight of L.A., he actually played pretty well last year. Down the stretch especially, but him with rookie wide receivers. We just saw last year he supported Cooper Kupp in 2017 as wide receiver 25, and Amon-Ra St. Brown in PPR was the wide receiver 23. Now, the question comes, though, those guys are completely different style wide receivers than Jameson Williams. So maybe someone like Brandon Cooks, how the vertical deep threat guy that's in the passing game. So I guess, what is your thoughts about him with Goff? Do you think he could, do you think it's going to work with him, or do you think they need to go find a new quarterback of the future?
You know, I think they need to get the new quarterback of the future. They got to get a guy who can really throw it downfield for Jameson Williams. But Jameson Williams is going to fit right in with Dan Campbell. I mean, Nick Saban's on record calling Jameson Williams a dog. Jameson Williams, like I said, he was special teams player of the year, not just for returning a couple kicks for touchdowns. He also played on the coverage team. He was great on punt coverage, as you'd imagine. I love wide receivers who play special teams, who play on punt coverage, because it shows, it demonstrates that they love the game. You know, I don't know, way back in me as a neophyte high school football player, sometimes special teams isn't fun. Sometimes you don't like getting hit. He likes hitting. He likes getting hit. He loves the game. Campbell's going to love this dude. And I think he's going to be incentivized to get him the ball. Plus, I think another thing that's really going to help is Campbell's going to want him on the field, because that deep threat speed is probably going to keep a safety back. And that burgeoning Lions run game is going to be the benefactor for that. And I think Campbell's just going to absolutely love that guy. I think he's probably more of a decoy year one, but they get another quarterback in there year two, get him rolling. You know, I think the sky's the limit for this dude.
Yeah, and they went up and got him, right? So it's not like they sat back on their heels, and there were still guys like Chris Olave on the board at the time, and they went up and got Jameson Williams. So you got to like that. Before we go, let's break down some ADP data. Currently today is going 126th in best ball drafts. So for me, I don't know how I feel about that, but let's get your thoughts on that. But also, Dynasty has him up at 6th. So he's going 6th right now in Dynasty rookie rankings. So what's your thoughts on that, about the rookie rankings, but also the best ball redraft?
Man, the rookie rankings are kind of right there in line with where I'd put him. You know, you got to ask the question. Obviously, there's a lot of great receivers in front of him at Ohio State, but if he's this top level talent, why didn't he catch more than 17 passes there? True. You know, I mean, I know you got those studs in front of you, and there's only so many passes to go around, especially in the Big Ten, where you do have to have at least some semblance of a run game. But what held you back there? Are you kind of a one-trick pony? Are you kind of a deep guy? Can you do it all? You know, why did Olave play so much in front of you? Why did Wilson play so much in front of you? And, you know, those questions have got to be answered on this dude. So I think that 6 is kind of right about where I'd want him. I wouldn't want him much higher than that. And then what did you say was the redraft? Said 130?
126.
126.
I could give you some names. I could give you some names if you want to do a little bit of comparison. Yeah, so the thing is, let's talk about the rookie dynasty rankings first. So you got Chris Olave, Sky Moore, and Christian Watson going right behind him. So any of those three guys you're taking ahead of Jameson Williams?
Yeah, you know, Olave is the one that I would consider, because Olave did play before him at Ohio State. So, I mean, Brian Hartline's a really good wide receiver coach. He's a wide receiver coach at Ohio State. Nails recruiter, obviously, gets the most out of those dudes. So Hartline probably saw something there. Yeah, I really like Olave. I mean, the thing I like about Olave is the dude can stop on a dime, just full speed and just immediately stop, and not many people can do that. So I'd probably consider Olave over Williams, at least for now, especially with the knee injury. Yeah, I'd probably want Olave ahead of him.
Yeah, the names that he's going in redraft, it's like Kenny Golladay, MVS, Jacoby Myers, DJ Chark, which is interesting because that's his teammate. Yeah, the question comes, do you think he's going to beat out DJ Chark? Is he going to be on the opposite side? Is he going to beat out Josh Reynolds year one? What are your thoughts on all that?
I don't think that he beats them out first year. I mean, probably Reynolds he could beat out, but just with him starting so late, I don't think he's going to be able to do that. Chark's got something to prove, you know, and yeah, that guy has all the athletic ability in the world as well. You know, he was a big-time recruit for LSU. So he's also got some size and some strength on Williams, which is Williams is kind of his thing he's got to work on. He's got to get some upper body strength because he's lithe, he's long, he's going to be good going up and getting those deep balls. But, you know, he's a wiry guy. He's got to put some weight on, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think that's pretty much my thoughts. Is like 126, no way. I'm going to take a shot on a guy like Kenny G. Call me nuts, but Kenny G is probably what he wants to be at some point, former Detroit Lions receiver. And Kenny G, I think he's got a better shot this year at producing. And then dynasty rankings, I'm just having a hard time with David Bell because I just don't know how high I want to take him, but I love him so much already. But I don't think in dynasty formats, I just don't trust the quarterback situation. So I think I might not even take him at six either. Let's call it a double fade, but that's all we got for today, folks. Once again, this was another rendition of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Make sure you're following us across the board. If you're not following the ticker, we got a TikTok now. We got Instagram. We got this YouTube channel. Make sure you're checking us out across the board and going to razzball.com to get all the greatest news, notes, bam, everything you need for baseball, hockey, basketball, and football. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby Lamarco. That man over there is Paul Blake over there, actually. And we're out of here.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.